Sal, you've been covering the NFL for a long, long time, and obviously it was a horrific scene when it originally happened. But man, there has been so much positivity from the, you know, over $6 million raised for DeMar's foundation to just a lot of love around the NFL for this unfortunate situation.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for having me, guys. By the way, I am at the Sabres game playing the Seattle Kraken tonight with my wife and son. If you hear the famous voice of the famous Conehead vendor in the background yelling for cold beer here or a horn, that's exactly why. I want you to know that. It's right outside the door here. You know, and we can talk in a positive light, and I can make jokes because it's been a great, uplifting, positive trend, obviously, for the last several days with DeMar Hamlin, and now he's back in Buffalo, and that's great, and you know, he's been able to talk with and see his teammates, I think, in some capacity. We'll find out more tomorrow when we go down to see Sean McDermott and get his, you know, his thoughts on this game and, you know, do some interviews and things like that. We'll be able to go in the locker room. We weren't able to last week while everything was going on. But, yeah, absolutely. It's been a really tough, interesting week, obviously, with everything going on. But it's really good news. Really good news that we're hearing, you know, how much DeMar has touched the world with these donations to his foundation, this charitable organization. Has just been incredible.
And what about the start of the game? I mean, you return right off the hop. I mean, that place must have just blown up.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's very few moments. You know, I grew up here. I went to games during the Super Bowl years, and I went to a lot of football games, and now I cover the team professionally. I've been on the sidelines 9 years. There's been very, very few single moments, you know, just in a encapsulated moments that I can ever remember just standing out almost in what I will say like slow motion. You know, people say things like that. You're like, oh, yeah, saw this in slow motion. I've never experienced that. I have twice now, I think, in that stadium. Once was Taron Johnson's pick six against the Ravens in the divisional round a few years ago. And what happened on Sunday. I mean, I stand for the opening kickoff. I stand kind of where the team is receiving. So I'm kind of there when they take their first snap. So he catches it and he runs kind of away from me. And I run down the sideline so I can capture, you know, what's happening at the end of the play. And as I'm doing it, I can just see the bench and the players and the jumping up and down and the fans, and it was surreal. And then you turn around and you see the emotion, you see people crying. It's just, it was incredible. It was surreal.
Yeah, it was amazing. Now, you look at the matchup for the Bills, you know, the Dolphins have played very tight this season. However, that was, you know, Tua, I don't know if he's going to play. Any update? Do you think he's going to play for the Dolphins? And if not, that's obviously a massive advantage for Buffalo.
Yeah, we don't know anything yet. The last we know, last we've heard, same reports everybody else has seen, which is as of yesterday, he hadn't been cleared for any non-football activity. But that could change tomorrow. And I know that the Dolphins are waiting on that report. Mike McDaniel said he'll investigate tomorrow and see, and he'll have more clarity, as he put it. He'll have more clarity on the quarterback situation tomorrow. So we'll find out from, you know, him when he meets with the media, I think around 11:30, 12 o'clock tomorrow in Miami. But you're right, if Tua can't go, I mean, boy, I'd really think it would be a massive upset for even Teddy Bridgewater to come into Buffalo and beat the Bills in this situation. But even Teddy's got that broken finger, and they might have to go to Skylar Thompson. But if Tua can play, then the question is how much, you know, the time off has impacted him anyway. The concussion, obviously, he'd be cleared. But they have played them very tough. And obviously they came here just a month ago, and just a few weeks ago, I should say. And they were ahead of the Bills, and Tua played really well, and that was cold at night. And they can strike. They have a big play offense. So if that happens and Tua's playing, then this is going to be a tough matchup for the Bills.
Some of the passes Josh Allen made last weekend were incredible, specifically the one from the opposite side of the field to the end zone. Do you feel he's coming in at kind of at the top of his game and feeling very confident?
Well, I think Josh is already a confident guy, right? But I think that what you saw last week, two 40-plus yard touchdown passes. Sorry for a little noise there, guys. Two 40-plus yard touchdown passes. We haven't seen that in a while from this Bills offense. And I think that's been missing from the offense. And partly, I don't think it's mainly, but I do think partly was because of Josh's elbow injury that he suffered, you know, back in November. He's still on the injury report every week. Now, he's a full participant in practice, but that just means he's still getting treatment on the elbow. And, you know, you wonder if maybe they held back a little bit. He held back. But I think now you see he threw flat-footed, was able to throw that deep ball right on the dime. I mean, it was incredible to Stephon Diggs and one to John Brown. So, yeah, I mean, but there's – Josh Allen is just, he plays at such a high level every week. You know, he had a bit of a dip in the middle of the season, three straight games with two interceptions. And then he threw the one this past week. He's kind of getting hit as he threw, but that was his first interception in like 5 weeks, I think. So, you know, I mean, right now I think he's pretty dialed in. You know, and when it gets to the playoffs, he is literally one of the greatest statistical quarterbacks ever when it comes to playoff games overall.
Looking at, you know, the other teams in the AFC, Sal, and I'm sure Bills fans are like, man, too bad we didn't play that Cincinnati game. You know, who knows what would happen as far as home field. I know if they get to the against KC to the AFC Championship game, then it'll be a neutral site game. But, you know, obviously that's still not as good as playing the game in Buffalo. But when you look at Cincy and you look at KC and even the Chargers, I don't know about the Jags, to be honest, but the Chargers, which of those other teams do you think is the toughest matchup? If the Bills get to, like, who would be the toughest matchup for the Bills? Which ones just are a tough straight head-up matchup for Buffalo?
You know, I want to say Kansas City because, you know, they have Patrick Mahomes and they've beaten the Bills and they still have an amazing offense. They're the highest-scoring team in the league and they have Patrick Mahomes, right? You know, I keep saying that. And they have Andy Reid. But I'll be honest, guys. I mean, man, that Cincinnati Bengals offense is incredibly tough because of all the weapons they have. They have Joe Burrow, and he's pretty amazing, obviously. And then they have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon, and you name it. Now, their offensive line isn't quite as good. You can kind of get to Joe Burrow a little bit, but you know, they did a really good job of protecting him in the second half of the year. They have lost their right tackle, Lael Collins, and now Alex Kappa, one of their starting offensive linemen. Probably not going to play this week. We'll see what that means for the rest of the playoffs. But that being said, I think that offense is so tough to defend. And I think it also is because the Bills are banged up in the secondary. We don't know the situation. If Christian Benford is going to play, I think he might because he has been practicing now and still on IR, but they can activate him as early as this week if they want to play him. Well, they have activated him, but he was inactive for the game, but maybe he plays this week. I mean, you have to give Kansas City the nod as just the overall team, but I think matchup-wise, player for player, it might be the Cincinnati Bengals because of all that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's amazing. Look at those three quarterbacks. You'd love to see those three guys. Too bad you can't play a three-way game. The talent those three guys have, Mahomes and obviously in Cincinnati and then Allen, is just incredible. I want to see them all play each other, not just, unfortunately, want to play the other.
Yeah, and you're going to get that, I think, for the next several years. You're going to throw in, you know, Justin Herbert in there, obviously, as you mentioned. I mean, he is such a great quarterback. And I think Tua has played really well here. We'll see what his... You know, you hope that he's going to be okay, and you know, and he had a really nice year with the receivers he has this year. But you know, this AFC is loaded with these quarterbacks, and I think we're in for a good, you know, 10-12 year run with all these guys battling it out.
Sal, you mentioned you're at the Sabres game, and you know, obviously the Bills are going. But what's Tage Thompson and you know, Rasmus Dahlin? What's the feeling in Buffalo now? Is there a belief that the Sabres can make a run?
Oh, very, very big belief. It's been fun. The people are coming back to the games now. It's very exciting. And it's not just that they're a really good team. They're really young. They have a great future. But they are scoring goals, guys. I think they lead the league or second in the league in goals scored. They're high-flying. They're a lot of energy. Now, last night notwithstanding, really poor game last night. They didn't even get on the scoreboard against the Flyers. They got shut out. But overall, I mean, they're playing really good hockey. And they're a very young core. They're the youngest team in the league, I believe, to start the year. And that's with a 41-year-old goalie and Craig Anderson on the roster, which is amazing. And yet they're still doing what they're doing. A lot of belief here. A lot of really upward trends. People are very excited about Sabres hockey again in Buffalo. And really, for the first time in a long time, both the Sabres and the Bills, I think, have all these positive vibes surrounding them. And when it comes to Tage Thompson, honestly, people are comparing him kind of to Josh Allen. This freak of an athlete at his size to be able to do the things he's doing amongst the best in the league at what he's doing at a young age, who's going to be here for a long time and a big part. And, you know, people are putting him in the conversation of MVP, and we all know Connor McDavid is the best player in the world, no doubt, and he'll probably be that MVP. But Tage Thompson is right on his heels as far as scoring goals, and I think to see that in a guy in a Sabres uniform is pretty awesome.
Well, you know, fun times in Buffalo. The fans have, you know, they're really loyal there. Obviously, it's been a really tough time for the Sabres, but the Bills are good. And I think there's lots of people now who have a little bit more of a soft spot and are rooting for Buffalo and DeMar Hamlin to have a healthy recovery. I guess that's the last one. So, and I know this is a touchy situation, but when you look at DeMar, is there been any talk? Is it way too early? Like, do they think he'll be able to play football again?
Well, they put him on injured reserve, so he's got to miss 4 week games. So I'm thinking that means that he's just out for this year for sure. And then beyond that, guys, yeah, no one really knows. And obviously, and I know you're asking respectfully, but, you know, the first priority is his health, you know, and more than anything. But, you know, it's such encouraging news from doctors just on that front that I wouldn't put it past anything as far as when it comes to DeMar and his determination and will. But, you know, let's get past these positive steps that we're already hearing and get even, you know, more encouraging news on, you know, him off the field before we talk about anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, it is. You know, you see all the news, and it seems like he's getting stronger every day, and he got out of Cincinnati, so that's a big step. I know he's getting tests in Buffalo. I read up on it all the time, and I know that's a long ways away, but, you know, his story has been amazing. You know, and the medical people who saved his life, like, that's not even hyperbole. That's legit. They saved his life on the field, which is utterly amazing. So whether or not he plays again is probably irrelevant in it, but, man, if that guy ever does get back in the field, holy cow, yeah. That would be one of the most watched games ever, I think, for sure, and a lot of people be rooting for him. So, Sal, enjoy the game tonight. The Sabres, last night was a rarity because I'm guessing you'll see a few goals tonight.
Yeah, I think that Don Granato will have them a little bit more ready to go tonight. Not even have them ready to go, but I think last night, you know, they didn't sit well, I'm sure, with the coaching staff, and I think they'll play a lot better tonight. But honestly, guys, I don't think they've ever beaten the Kraken. Is that wild? It's crazy. I don't think they have. And the Kraken have scored a lot of goals, so I think tonight would be the first time if they do it. So we're all hoping that happens.
Well, hey, the Kraken, man, the Kraken are averaging over 4 goals a game on the road, which is mind-blowing.
I know,
that never happens. So, yeah, it could be goal, or it could be the over tonight, Sal. If you're a gambler, it could be the over. So enjoy it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.